And just go ahead and open us up in prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for, Lord, your word promises where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And so we welcome you here, Lord Jesus, this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to open our eyes and let us see Jesus clearly. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us from your word today. Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and transform us and change us more into the image of Christ. And Lord, we just say we can do nothing apart from you, and we can't do anything without you, Lord. So we welcome you, and we ask, Lord, we're hungry for you to speak and hungry for you to move in our midst this morning. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and open our ears and let us hear and see clearly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are working our way through Thessalonians, the first letter, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, and we're in chapter 2. And just some of the context of where we're at with this passage is, again, Paul went to Thessalonica, he ministered there, he had great success, but then because of persecution, he had to quickly leave under the cover of darkness. And so in that abrupt departure, all sorts of speculation was beginning to rise about his intentions, about his motives, and who he was. And Paul, here in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, he's defending himself, but it's not just simply defending himself because he's worried people might think less of me. He's defending himself because he understands the principle that if you undermine the message, then the message becomes in question. And so he's seen the work of the gospel there in Thessalonica, and he understands what's at stake, that if the Thessalonians begin to question or doubt his motivations or what actually transpired in their midst, that the opportunity is available for the enemy to work and bring in and cause them to fall away from faith in Christ. And so he begins to share, as you read through chapter 2, Paul is calling God to bear witness on his time there. He says, you know how God empowered us to share the gospel even in the face of great opposition. And God tested our hearts and found us worthy. And the message that we preached, that God was pleased with it. And then he begins to call to bear witness his own life. As he says in chapter 1, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You know how we were not deceptive. We were not manipulative. There was nothing underhanded going on. We were holy and blameless before you. You saw how hard we worked night and day. And so Paul's saying, look at my life. You can examine that and see the motivations. We were not deceptive or manipulative. We weren't trying to do anything for greed. And finally, Paul here, as we look in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul turns the attention of the Thessalonians to the work of God within them. He says, you've seen what God has done in his power. You've seen how I've lived. And I want you to turn your attention to what God has done in your own life, how he's worked in you. And so he begins in verse 13. He says, and we also thank God continually, and you see, for you all, as he goes on to say, and we'll get to there in just a minute. But Paul was there. Paul was in their midst, living among them. He's the one that introduced the gospel to them, and he's witnessed their transformation. He's witnessed the change, how they've left idolatry, left immorality, left pagan practices. He's seen deliverance. He's seen strongholds broken off their lives. He's seen people become new creation. And as his mind is, as he remembers that, it evokes and he overflows with thanksgiving for that work within the Thessalonians. And I want that to encourage us today as well. I'm so thankful for Joshua's testimony and the testimonies in recent weeks that people have given, because what happens, we're a small body here, and we know the ins and outs, we know the struggles that we all face, we know the workings of each other's lives, and we know how real sometimes these battles, these struggles are. But when you come forward and when you share a testimony of what God has done, it provokes thanksgiving amongst us, because we've seen it with our own eyes. We saw how desperate you were. We saw how hopeless you were. We saw how lost you were without Christ. But then God broke through, and the result is thanksgiving. We put way too much pressure on the worship leader to kind of create this culture of worship. But really, the burden is on us to be sharing the testimony, the work of God, what he's doing, how How else will we know he's alive unless we speak it, unless we share it with the body? And the overflow of our hearts in response to thanksgiving, our response to these testimonies, is thanksgiving. It's the fuel of our worship in the family of God. But Paul goes on, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, when we came to you and we preached to you the gospel, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And when I first was just looking at this passage, I was like, well, you received the word of God and then you accepted the word of God. And in my mind, I'm just thinking in our language, those are kind of synonyms, right? You receive it, you accept it, you accept it, you receive it. What's the difference? In the Greek, it's actually two different words. And receiving, it's actually as if you were handed down a tradition. And so there's no real heart or vision or why behind what we do. This is just what it is. But then there's an acceptance of it, which is different. You can actually receive something without accepting it. When we got married, we got wedding gifts. And you know us if you've been to our house. And we're not... There's not crystal dishes hanging all over the place. But somehow, for some reason, some great aunt, whoever, from wherever, decided that this young couple, two broke college students who were newly married, needed crystal dishes, a crystal dove candy dish in their house. So we received the gift, but you know us, and so we didn't really accept the gift. It didn't bear witness with us. It didn't resonate with who we were. We had this other gift too. We had somehow, there's no Asia connection in our family. Well, maybe one. My parents were stationed in Japan and they thought it would be funny if they tattooed "Made in Japan" on my foot, but they didn't. And it was just one of those jokes that you tell your kids just to get a reaction out of them there. But there's no Asia connection in my family or with our friends. But somehow somebody decided to give us Asian placemats, right? Like it had some sort of Asian picture and some sort of wording down the side in the language we didn't understand. What? So we were at that age where, you know, you're young, you're getting married, your friends are young, they're getting married. And so we just did a lot of regifting, right? Somewhere out there, there's somebody asking, why did Aaron and Jen give me this? But it didn't resonate with us. There was no connection. The idea of accepting, it's actually a wholehearted welcoming of something. It could be used also to say as you welcome somebody into your family. In other words, this person has similar values. We're connected. They're similar likes and dislikes. And so we're welcoming them into our family. We're with them. They're with us. We're together in this. It also speaks perhaps of to bear, to take up, it's actually like as if you were stepping into something new, you're leaving something behind. So again, with the whole wedding analogy, you know, on that day I left behind singleness and I took up the role of being a husband to my wife. It was something new, it was something different, and I was giving myself to that wholeheartedly. I was embracing it. And see, Paul is saying here that the Thessalonians, when they received the word of God, they left behind paganism, they left behind immorality, they left behind idolatry, and they welcomed the gospel. They embraced it. They took it up. This is something new that I'm giving myself to. And the same is true for each of us, that when we place our faith in Christ and his atoning death on the cross, when we repent and turn from our sins, we surrender ourselves to the word of God and we embrace it and we accept it. We welcome it wholeheartedly. This is something new that I'm walking in and I'm leaving all this behind. Now, for me, when I hear something like that, automatically I begin to get convicted because I know sometimes how unwholeheartedly I act. We sing in the hymn, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Sometimes I know, you know, I'll be here on a Sunday morning. Lord, I love you. You're everything to me. I give you my whole life. And it's like 2 seconds out the door and I'm blowing it again. What is going on? And so I'm like, well, maybe I didn't really accept this. But again, back to the whole wedding analogy. I don't know why the Lord just brought this up to me so much this week, but You know, when I got married on that time, I said to my wife, I love you with my whole heart. And I was completely sincere in it and completely genuine in it. And today I love her even more with my whole heart. How is that possible? What I realize is that, you know, when I came into the marriage, I came in with a history. I came in with a past. I came in with hurts and wounds and disappointments. I came in with betrayals. And so while I genuinely loved her with all my heart, there was a yeah, but watch out. And so I, you know, and there probably was a little selfishness, a little pride mixed in there too. But I was genuine and wholehearted in that. But at the same time, there's this guardedness, wasn't there? Because of past betrayals, past hurts, past wounds. And I remember one day we were just having a conversation. And I remember as she went to turn from the conversation, there's just sort of this look on her face. And immediately it triggered something in me. See, I had like 23 years of trained responses in sin. And it triggered something in me. And I was like, oh no, she did not just roll her eyes at me. I found myself really getting upset by this. And then I thought for a second, the grace of God was on me, realized she's kind of in the middle of a project. I don't know if it was dinner or something she was working on. And then the Lord just sort of spoke and said, you know, was that for you or was that for what she's working on right now? I said, wait a minute. And I realized my reaction was based on something she was never even a part of. I was filtering her through these past wounds and these past hurts. And the Lord spoke to me. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, Aaron, this is something brand new. In that moment, I said, well, I need to lower my guard, don't I? I need to trust her and believe that she has the very best in mind for me. And in one moment, with one word from the Lord, I was set free from that. With one word from the Lord, He worked righteousness in me. With one word from the Lord, He brought peace to my home. He changed me. One word from the Lord at work in me changed everything about my relationship with my wife. And it's the same thing. When we come to Christ, we come with a history. We come with past hurts and wounds and betrayals. We come with expectations that have been let down. Something inside us says, keep your guard up. He's not really that good. Keep your guard up. Don't trust him. I know he's calling you to do this, but it's really risky. Guard yourself. Look out for number one. But with one word, with his word, he desires to set us free from all that. With one word, his word, he desires to work peace in our hearts. With one word, he desires to work righteousness in us. Where we can trust him fully and completely and give our whole heart to him. The word of God is at work in us who believe, working us, calling us into greater wholeheartedness to him. I got one amen. Every day calling us deeper, every day calling us deeper, every day calling us deeper. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us. And his primary tool in doing this is the Word of God. And I've shared this with you before that there are different camps that I've encountered in my walk with the Lord. From two different extremes, there's perhaps an ultra-conservative evangelical camp that just says sola scriptura, so only scripture, the Word of God, and they're fearful of the Holy Spirit, and like, you know, don't get into any of that crazy stuff, it's just the Word. And they value the Word of God highly, and I so appreciate that. But the reality is there's no possibility of me understanding any of this without the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And then there's just some other extremes that have said some really unhealthy, unbiblical things such as, you know what, hey, it's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, not Father, Son, Holy Bible. And their heart is to call us into greater fullness, greater power through the Holy Spirit, a greater walk in the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. But here's the thing. Paul says this. He says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, the primary tool that the Holy Spirit uses to work victory in your life is the Word of God. And when we try and separate those things, we've got a sword laying on the floor with no power. Or we have a Holy Spirit that's completely unarmed in our life. Those are human words, and they break down at some point. But you get the idea of what I'm saying. It's the Holy Spirit working with the Word of God, working in us. making us holy, working peace, righteousness, changing us. Jesus says, my words, they are full of the Spirit and life. Put a sword in his hand and let him go to work. Amen. And so when I think about the work of the Word in our lives, my mind automatically goes to this passage in Psalm 19. And it's just ministered to us for many years. But Psalm 19, it reads this. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Have you ever spoken with somebody and said, it's so good to hear your voice? It's so good to hear from you. What you're not saying there is, my ear is just having this intense sensation at the sound of your voice. No, it's your word, your voice. It's refreshing my soul. It's refreshing of my soul to connect with you. A few weeks ago, it was a Tuesday morning. I know that because I remember I went to men's prayer. And so it's not like I just started off the day, you know, in the flesh. I was engaged with the Lord right from the start in the morning. But I got home from men's prayer and the dogs are up, the kids are up, and the day just kind of started. By the time I got home that evening, I'm just feeling like, oh, right? Like everything is just overwhelming. Everything's too intense. Like the kids aren't being bad, but just like every noise that they make is just like, bam, you know, just so brash. Like, what is going on? You know, while I was with him corporately in a place of prayer, you know, he's jealous for that place for each one of us, just to meet with him. And I realized I haven't even talked to him today, just me and him. So I had to go lock myself away in a room in the back and just, Jesus, speak to me. And it just brought peace to my entire being. His word, it refreshes our soul. Paul refers to the word for immature believers, for young believers. He refers to it as milk, nourishment, refreshment, strengthening, nurturing. For mature believers, he says, it's meat. Amen. No vegetables. He never talks about vegetables. Meat and milk, though. Glory to God. Good stuff. Eat your vegetables. I'm just saying. Jesus, John calls Jesus the Word of God and then quotes Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. You need to eat of my flesh. Feasting. The Word of God, it strengthens us. It nourishes us. It refreshes us. It builds us up. It gives us power to walk and live and to live out with godliness and righteousness. Every dynamic of our lives, even those moments when the kids are just going crazy in those stressful situations at work or in the home or whatever you're facing, it's the Word of God at work in you, strengthening you, nourishing you, restoring, refreshing your soul. And it's at work in you to do this. It's Psalm 23 says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When I'm completely surrounded and everything is against me in this moment, you say, come and feast. You lead me beside quiet waters. You make me lie down in green pastures. Come and feast. Find your rest. Be restored. Be refreshed. Be renewed. Be nourished. Be equipped. Be edified. Be strengthened in his word. But we never get there if we don't create space in our lives for the Word of God to do its work. Psalm 19 goes on. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. This I love this passage in James. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God because he gives generously to all without finding fault. And that's particularly encouraging to me because oftentimes when I begin to cry out to the Lord for wisdom, it's because of something I've done. I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention. I did something foolish. And the amazing thing is God doesn't stand back and say, well, I told you so. It's in my word. If you just read it, I sent people to warn you. You didn't listen. No, he says, oh, you want wisdom. Let me give it to you in abundance. Let me give it to you with generosity. Let me pour it out. And it's wisdom for the simple. You can be a simple kind of man. You can be uneducated. You don't even have to be all that sharp. But the Word of God will work in you wisdom for life. My wife shared this with me as she was reading through Proverbs one day. She says, look at this. She said, can you believe this? The woman of wisdom is up on the rooftop crying out. She's in the streets crying out. She's at the gate crying out. God's not hiding wisdom. He's not trying to keep it hidden. He's not saying, you know, if give me the password or if you just get your act together enough, I'll share it with you. No, wisdom is in the street, on the rooftop, at the gate saying, come to me. I'm eager to share this with you. But we don't enjoy the fruit of wisdom if we don't create space in our lives for the Word of God to do its work in us. Psalm 19 goes on, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Throughout Scripture, joy, it's associated. This isn't just being giddy or Pollyanna about things. It's not just, hey, everything in life is going right. I've got joy. Joy is fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the midst of your circumstances. Despite your circumstances, it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And he's promising joy. It's the fruit of fellowship with him. But we don't experience that if we don't create space for his word to have its work in us. Listen, for me, I get up with the Lord first thing in the morning. And I open up his word first thing in the morning because otherwise the day will set the agenda for me. But I want to start my day on his agenda. I want to start my day in fellowship and communion with him. So listen, don't check your emails first thing in the morning. Open up the word. Because emails are just somebody else's agenda for your life. Don't check your social media first thing in the morning. Because you're just opening yourself up for envy. Fellowship with him in his word. Give it space to do its work in your heart. Don't start your day looking at the news. You know all the news is? People say, why isn't there good news? Because that's not news. Nobody ever says, this just in. Everything went perfectly according to plan. News is when everything's going wrong. Something's breaking down. Things aren't happening. And so we get frustrated because we set our hope in another kingdom or another person or somebody who's not Jesus. But we can have joy in our hearts out of fellowship with him. But we don't know, we will know nothing of that joy. We will know nothing of that fruit if we don't give the Word of God space in our lives to do this. And finally, this is my favorite one. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And I used to read this and think, oh, that tells me which way I should go, right? Because my eyes are lit. But throughout Scripture, when it talks about the way that you go, it's always referring to your feet, your walking. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, right? But when it's talking about understanding or revelation or the knowledge of the Holy One, it speaks of light to the eyes. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. This is why Paul prays that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know him better. We actually get to see him through fellowship with his word. We actually get to know him. We receive revelation, the knowledge of the Holy One. And this is the Holy Spirit's sword. You know what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to testify to you of me. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to remind you of the things that I said. Paul says this. He says, you know what? Through the Holy Spirit, we gain the mind of Christ. We get to learn how he thinks, what's important to him, his priorities, what he's after, what he's interested in. Because his word by the Holy Spirit is revealed to us. See, the number one thing for having hearts captivated by the majesty, the beauty, the glory of Jesus is the Holy Spirit ministering his word to us. But we know nothing of him if we don't create space in our hearts for the word of God to do its work and show us more of who Jesus is. So, let's get real practical here. So creating space for the Word of God to work in our lives. Number one, it's just simply this. We got to make a plan, right? These are just real practical, simple things, but it works. How many of you know if you don't make a plan, it doesn't happen? Amen? Amen. If we, in our house, we say, if we don't put it on the calendar, it doesn't happen. But we make a plan to do this. There are, you know, I've got on my phone here the YouVersion Bible app, and they've got lots of reading plans to go through. I personally, right now, I'm in a plan where I'm reading one chapter of the New Testament every day, every week. And in a year's time, you can get through the whole New Testament. Just one chapter. But that's my plan, to be in the Word. But even beyond that, I would even, you know, each one of us is different. And I would just simply open it up to say, if you don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit where to start. Ask Him what He wants. Secondly, have a time and a place. Schedule it. Schedule it and make it a hard schedule, a hard appointment that doesn't move. This is what I do. This is what I do. This is what I do. I guard this. I protect this. I don't let anything take this away from me, because I want the Word of God to have its perfect work in me. And so I have a place. I have a place in my home where I can go, where I know even if the kids start getting up while I'm first up, it's not going to distract me. I'm not going to be thinking, what are they getting into or anything like that. It's my place, and I know time and a place for that. And I wanted to ask Jen to share just real quick, just for a moment, because I understand it's one thing for me to say this, but I know we've got moms here with young children who can't even go to the bathroom without kids, like, trying to get their attention. So we were aware of that, and I wanted to give her a chance just to share that for mothers with young children, just how you make that time for the Lord.
Okay. He asked me this morning. I have no notes. Sorry. Just two things that I did when the kids were little that were practical that worked. When I was like nursing and little ones and toddlers, you know, I couldn't always carve out that time unless I woke up early, and I wasn't good at waking up early. So first of all, I'm just going to tell you, don't let guilt lead you. Just ask Jesus what His plan is for you, and, you know, don't compare what other people do, because that's not the plan of God for you. So I had to like figure out how to maneuver that and not feel guilty because I wasn't up at 4 a.m. And anyway, God settled my heart and showed me that for that season, I just needed my Bible open on my dresser. And every time I would bounce a baby to bed, I would just read the Word at my dresser, bouncing, reading. And it wasn't but a few minutes, maybe a few phrases. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was the Word of God in my life, and it was keeping me all those things of Psalm 19. And then I also did, God called me when I ended up with four kiddos in the house, and the oldest was six, and the littlest was two or one. I can't remember. Anyway, they were close. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And He just opened up this whole new thing for me where first thing in the morning when the kids and I woke up, we didn't even do breakfast. We first got up and we do what we call Jesus time. And that has been what has sustained us all the way until now. And that can look bunches of different ways. Now that they're older, it looks the same. It's just what they get out of it's a little different. When they were really little, I'm talking like the little one-year-old was sitting there. That was Tobin at the time. And I would open it up in prayer and just say, Jesus, you know, help us to hear you. Give us pictures. I always pray, give us pictures to draw, give us scriptures to read, give us people to pray for and prayers to pray. And so we would do that. And then I would just open with that prayer, and then everybody would just be quiet before the Lord. And yes, even my one-year-old could sit still. It took time and training, but it does work. And it wasn't like I was expecting them to do this for 2 hours. So it was just sometimes shorter in the beginning, and we would just be quiet before the Lord, and I'd give them crayons and pencils and, you know, paper and whatever. And we would just, and then I would just tell the kids, you know, if they were old enough, they would read the Word. And if they were too young to read, then they would just draw whatever they felt like Jesus told them to draw. Sometimes it was, you know, some dragon, I don't know, whatever. And sometimes it was this really profound picture that God gave us. And so, but I just trusted that we asked God to speak and He would speak. So, and then at the end of that, we would all take a turn and just pray, whatever it was. They may have just said, thank you, Jesus, or help me, Jesus, or they might have prayed for it. And there were moments where they prayed for people that we hadn't even talked to or heard of or spoken of in like years. And all of a sudden they're praying for this person and you're going, what in the world? And then you find out later that that person was, you know, about to fall off the ladder that day. And it was just pretty cool things. And it was really good for me because it encouraged my faith, and it was really good for the kids because it encouraged them. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it that way, but I'm just saying there are ways of doing it where you spend time with the Lord with your kids and you incorporate them in there. Well, you know what? Sometimes maybe one of them would have went running off into the other room, or and you'd have to maybe stop and discipline, or maybe they were just kind of antsy and you're like, you know what? We're just going to ignore that for right now because I'm in the Word right now. And so that doesn't have to look perfect every time, but you're just opening up the door for the Lord to speak to your kids. And, because of that, it encouraged our kids too, because our kids, you know, they know when they hear God's voice, like they know God speaking better than I know God speaking. And it's to do with all those years of just listening and just being quiet and showing them that they can hear from Him. So even though I would doubt sometimes that I would hear from Him, I would be like, you guys can hear from Him, ask Jesus. And sure enough, they heard from Him because they didn't have all this years of junk to weigh Him down in doubt. Is that what you were hoping for?
That was awesome.
Okay.
Thank her. Yep. Give her a round of applause. Good job. Very good. All right. So we make a plan, and we have a set time, a hard schedule. We make that time, and we guard it. And third is just simply, you know, once we come into that place, we invite the Holy Spirit to come in. Because like we said at the beginning, if this is just all our own effort, if it's our own understanding, if He's not involved, then it's all for nothing. So we invite the Holy Spirit. And then this last one, I've just found recently very helpful. I hadn't originally, but I've really grown in it. And that is just a journal. And what I found is so powerful about journaling isn't, I'm not a Dear Diary kind of guy where I write down just my feelings of the day or whatever. I need something practical that I can do, something structural, right? But what I found with journaling is, and I'll just share with you what I do here just in a moment, but is that it causes me to slow down in the Word of God and process what He's saying to me. Otherwise, I'm just like, okay, read the chapter. I did my time in the Word, and let's get on with the day without allowing the Holy Spirit to speak. And so what I do in journaling, and it looks a little, oh, I pressed the wrong one. Here it is, right? It's just four sentences. You just write four sentences. And first is just highlight. So I'm alone with the Lord. I'm having my plan. I'm in my place. I've invited the Holy Spirit, and I read a chapter of the Word and highlight. Sometimes it's just one verse, one little phrase, something that stood out to me, and I just make time just to write that verse down. You know, I've just heard recently a lot of studies about what we're losing with technology today and how it's connecting to our brains because we're typing it out rather than writing it by hand. And so there's something that happens when you write it by hand that just causes you to meditate on it a little more, dwell on it a little more, a verse that stands out to you. Then simply taking time to paraphrase that verse, right? Write it out in your own words. What is the author saying here? What is being said? And then apply. How do I walk this out today? How do I take steps to this today? How does this affect how I'm going to work? I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to do whatever I have to do today. How can I apply this in what I'm doing? And the fourth is just response. The fourth sentence, response. Because sometimes the word that stands out to you, it's a promise. And you just got to thank God for it. Or you got to ask Him for faith for it. Sometimes it's an instruction. And you got to realize, you're like, Lord, I haven't been doing this, but You're commanding me to. Would You help me to do it today? Would You give me faith for it? Would you help me to obey Your word? And just taking that time, like I said, just causes me just to slow down and process a little more what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me on that day. It's creating that space for the Word of God to work in our lives. You guys with me? Are we feeling strong? All right. Let's all stand together. I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that Your truth, it brings confidence, Lord, to our walk, to our reality. Lord, it opens our eyes, Lord, that we can see things clearly for what they are. Lord, that we can see, we can know Your heart, we can know Your mind. And Lord, we can walk more closely with You. And we thank You, Lord, Lord, that you're always present. You're always ministering to us. And Father, we just thank You for our time here together today. Lord, we ask, Father, for a renewed vision and renewed zeal in our hearts, Lord, to know You, to meet with You, Lord, to open our hearts up to the working of Your word in us. And Father, we love you. And Father, we give ourselves wholeheartedly to you today. And thank you for your continued work in us. You're faithful, Lord. You're going to finish the work that you started in us unto the day of Christ Jesus. And we praise you for that today. We bless you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.